Absolutely. The body is so determined to want to be healthy. It's actually quite easy to take somebody from low function and just do all the right things. And within a month's time, they're so much better if they just do what they're supposed to do.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my pleasure to bring you another brand new episode. Oh my gosh, I'm on the road and having a wonderful time. It was raining like crazy here the last couple of days. I thought I was going to need an ARC or something. But I've been having a wonderful time meeting all sorts of amazing people. And our guest tonight is in the same state that I am. We're both in Florida. She lives here and I'm passing through, but I went, how wonderful is that? And by the way, since it's raining, I don't know if it's raining where you are, but I'm curled up with my tea here. It's a white jasmine tea this time. I was reading about how white jasmine or white tea is good for you, that it's, this particular one is air dried, not force dried, and it's really tasty. And you know what? It's one of those that smells so good, you feel like you should just like smell it all the time instead of drink it. It's fantastic. Anyway, let me introduce tonight's guest, because we're going to talk about something, I've sort of avoided. I think it's a fun topic. I was waiting for the right expert to come along, because we're going to talk about gas, bloating, and belly aches. I know, that's really classy, right? I think it is, because we all have to know about it, regardless of whether we have an autoimmune diagnosis or not. I think we've all experienced one or all three of those in our life. So let me introduce you to Dr. Julie Gatza. She's a co-founder of the Florida Wellness Institute. She's a health educator at one of the nation's top chiropractic physicians with more than 26 years of clinical practice, during which she's assisted thousands of patients to resolve a wide variety of physical ailments. Using her understanding of the nervous system, nutrition, and alternative therapies, Dr. Gatza's mission for each patient is to enhance the body's potential to heal itself. She regularly lectures and educates audience on how to maintain optimum health, with a focus on the role of digestion plays in maintaining a healthy immune system. And she currently serves as spokesperson for the Nature's Source Dietary Supplements. So welcome, Dr. Julie. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Sharon.
You know, when your topic came across my desk, I first laughed a little bit. I went, oh, that's good. Wow, somebody specializes in that. But the more I thought about it, everything I've studied around autoimmune, a huge portion of it comes from the gut. So let's talk a little bit about what is first gut health, and then we'll get into some of these finer points like belly aches, gas, and bloating.
Well, gut health itself is the basis of all disease that I've seen. I've been doing this for just about 28 years, and I've found early in my career that if you actually handled somebody's digestive system, you could pretty much handle anything else that they were experiencing. And one of the reasons that they were so frustrated by seeing doctors and getting diagnoses and being told they need to take medications or having surgeries, and no one was addressing the gut. So a normal, healthy digestive system is a digestive system that you put food in. It utilizes those nutrients. Those nutrients go to organs and glands and everywhere in the body. And this is health. Without any of those points, you're going to have unhealth at some level.
Wow. That's I'm nodding as she's talking about that, because my first experience after the diagnosis, I thought I ate healthy, by the way. I found out now, after all of the lessons in this healing journey, that I wasn't eating as healthy as I thought. But my first experience was after the diagnosis, I went to a top rheumatologist in my part of the country and said, "So, Sharon, what are you doing?" And I listed off that I'd gotten very clean and clear with my diet, organic food only, really increased the fruits and veggies, mostly veggies and organic and filtered water, on and on and on. And he looked at me in all seriousness and he said, "None of that's going to help." Wow, that was my, I didn't fire him right away. I should have. I fired him a couple of sessions later. But I'll tell you, what happened at that moment for me was twofold. The first, a little evil twin on my shoulder popped out and said, "See, I told you you could have had that, you know, milkshake or hamburger or whatever, you know, whatever it was, processed chips or whatever it was." And the second point was nothing about anything I could do to take control of my health. It was all about what this particular doctor was going to fix and do and all of that. So I'm getting off a little bit on my little white coat authority part of this thing where I wanted to be part of the team. So long question here. As we're being part of the team, what can we do? What are a couple of steps that you immediately tell people when you go, gut issue, that we can do to optimize?
First thing that you can do is knock out the coffee, the tea, and the soda pop.
Oh, it dear. Changes, well, I'm drinking my
I'm sorry.
Well, just smell it.
It alkalizes your digestive system, and you always want your digestive system to be acidic. So I've seen just chronic problems, and autoimmune is one of the areas that I love to have patients come in for because we're so successful with it. So no coffee, no tea, no soda pop, green tea, white tea, or black tea. Sorry. And water, you can put all sorts of fruit flavors into the water, but keep it very plain, no carbonation whatsoever. And that's the first thing that I have my patients do. Number two, I have them eliminate most of their grains and dairy products. I happen to be an applied kinesiologist, so I muscle test for food sensitivities. I found that that's been one of the most successful ways to be very determined on what it is that's really causing the problem, not what shows on blood tests. And then we put them on digestive enzymes immediately because they're no way digesting the foods that they need to properly. They're not making the enzymes that they need. And so they're lacking the ability to be able to break down the food and get it into the system.
Wow. Okay. Well, you had me at the tea. Bummer.
I know. I'm sorry. No one likes me after that.
I imagine I'm not the only one that goes, oh.
One for one.
Yeah. Well, you know, I keep, it's a process. It's a process.
It
That's
is.
What I keep telling myself because I'm no grain, no dairy. What else? No sugar. And now I guess no tea, guys. Oh, well.
Now, if you want to do herbal tea, peppermint, chamomile, hibiscus, those are all fine. Just nothing from a tea leaf, green, white, or black.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'll try the peppermint. That sounds good. Next week, guys, I'll have the peppermint out. I'll try that. Oh my gosh. Okay. So as we're optimizing our health, and you said digestive enzymes, tell us a little bit more about those. And they're not probiotic, right?
Well, they do have probiotics in them. So there's a company called Nature's Sources. They make a number of enzymes. One of them is absorbate platinum, and the platinum is, it does have probiotics in it. But the enzymes themselves are made basically from the things that your body should be producing. Well, our soil is bad. Our food isn't as healthy as it was when we were young. We have all sorts of, you know, alterations to our food on top of that. So just the quality, we're not able to get in nutrients. And then because of that sort of lifestyle, we aren't making those enzymes. So we're at a catch-22. So we always supplement in our practice digestive enzymes that supply the ability to break down proteins, which pancreas breaks down proteins, amylase breaks down carbohydrates, lipase breaks down fats, and it has all these different ACEs, A-S-E, in them, and anything with ACE at the end is an enzyme. So enzymes break down foods to make it more processable to the body itself.
So now we're kind of in the digestive, we're in the, I guess, the belly area, and we're digesting the food. But then here we go, like, to the next step, and we get into the intestinal tract where I hear a lot about leaky gut, microbiome. all of those kinds of things. We're kind of making our way down the tube here, guys.
That's true.
Tell me, what is the microbiome and how does it relate to also getting the nutrients? For some reason, I didn't realize that it started, I guess, in the tummy region, but that region, it was more down there in the microbiome where all that processing happened.
Yeah, it actually starts in the saliva glands. So you, when you chew your food, you're basically sending signals to the brain that says, hey, start producing enzymes. So that's why chewing your food more than you have been is quite important, because it breaks it down. It gets things set up in the body. It goes down into the stomach. The stomach actually starts to break down these foods, and then it gets sent to the small intestine where most absorption is occurring. So in the intestine, in the small intestine, you have small little holes, and those holes are big enough to let nutrients go through. When we've had leaky gut, irritable bowel, any type of digestive upset, any autoimmune problem, those holes now get large and inflamed, and now everything leaks through. So now the body is actually fighting all the things that are in the blood. When it sees those foods into the in the intestine, it goes on an attack, and now your immune system is making white blood cells to attack the things that should never have gotten into the bloodstream in the first place because the digestive system was stressed. So it's small holes that become too large. Foods go into the bloodstream, the immune system starts to attack that, and now we have an autoimmune disorder. So this is why you have to fix the digestive system first and foremost before you can ever do any real leaps to fixing the autoimmune problem.
Oh, wow. Okay, I've got 100 questions in my mind, so I'm going to choose the first rabbit hole, saliva. How many times do you suggest we chew?
I would say I give the people the number of 22. It's just an odd number. Start chewing your food. Start counting. You'll realize that you're doing a heck of a lot less. While you're counting, you'll realize, boy, I do swallow my food as it's a bit more whole than it should be. It slows you down. You aren't as hungry. The nutrients are, you know, or the food is getting broken down into smaller particles so that whole system digestion doesn't have to do it all on its own. So 22, and then count it out and see if that's a bit more or less for you.
Okay. I'm thinking, I know it's not 20. I know my number's not 22. I'll have to figure that out later. Then, if the saliva is a part of the process, should we not have fluids with our meal? Like, you know, they give you a glass of water at a restaurant?
You know, my suggestion is to have small sips to just aid in the digestive system, but I wouldn't say drink, you know, 2 glasses of water during a meal. It dilutes the digestive enzymes that you do make, and it keeps your food from being broken down as cleanly as it needs to be.
Okay. All right. Okay. That was my first part of those questions. Now I want to jump back down to the leaky gut and the microbiome. Boy, so many questions here, because as you mentioned in all my research, that's where autoimmune starts. Are there certain foods that help? I don't want to use the word heal. I'm optimized so those holes get smaller. I mean, is it possible to make those holes smaller once they're big?
Absolutely. The body is so determined to want to be healthy. It's actually quite easy to take somebody from low function and just do all the right things. And within a month's time, they're so much better if they just do what they're supposed to do. So the coffee, tea, and pop need to go. Most grains, most dairy. Chocolate is never your friend. Corn, of course, soy. You know, those are all, they're genetically modified. They're not a lot of food value to them, to be honest. But what does heal the body, I never back away from protein. Fish, chicken, eggs are fine with me unless you have some known allergy to it. Tons of steamed green vegetables. I find that salads are too hard on the digestive system when it's not doing well. So you want to give the body slightly broken down vegetables, which steaming or sauteing is more helpful. If you have to have grain, rice is the best. Try to do a brown rice or a organic rice, and tons of water. And if you do that, you're at least not irritating the system. Then what we do in our office is we take a whole bunch of nutrition, and then we start to put in the nutrients they've been missing to help heal what's been happening. And you know, if they're not a lot better within 1 or 2 months, then we've completely missed the boat, or they're not doing it. And I rarely miss the boat.
So it's not that easy to do.
It's not that easy.
I can, even though it sounds easy, I travel a lot and I end up taking a lot of food with me. And sometimes I have to take things that are a little more processed just because if I'm on the road for 24 hours, sometimes I want to make sure at least I have a backup plan if I, something I know I can eat.
Right.
Even if it's not the ideal. So that's why I always say it's not that easy. And then also the emotional part of eating. I wanted to just touch on that a little bit when, since we're in this rabbit hole of it's not that easy. What are some tips you give people to get past this emotional? I mean, there's so much emotion around eating. It's our society. It's, you know, you go on dates with beloveds and you have family parties. And how do you get around this kind of emotional part of eating?
You know, one of the things that I've seen is when people come in, they're pretty devastated with being sick. I'm a referral type clinic. And so people are coming in and they're pretty, you know, they're saddened and a bit, you know, distraught of the fact that they've been mishandled. So they're willing to pretty much do anything I ask, at least for the first month. When they see that they're so much better, it's a heck of a lot easier to get them to follow what they need to. And then if they choose not to, they usually see and pay the price for not following what they need to. I would say it takes realistically 6 to 12 months to truly heal digestion. That also means the hormonal system and the adrenals and the thyroid and all the things that have been under tremendous stress because of all the problems that's been having, the body's been having in the first place. So, you know, I would say if you're going to a family party, eat before. Eat something, don't go there hungry, and then you can pick and choose from things that you can possibly eat that aren't just, you know, I'm starving, I used to love this, I know how it tastes, I'd love to have the brownies tonight. Go full, it's a lot easier. If you are out to dinner, there are always things on the menu people can eat. Even if you're eating at a diner, you can find things at a greasy diner that you can still have. And it's not that hard. It's just going to knock out a fair amount of the other things that used to cause you to feel lousy in the first place. So it is a mindset. I find that children are actually easier to train than adults. And the parents think, you know, their 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old is going to have the worst time at this. When I educate the child and then give them the rules, they're the ones that ask, Mom, can I really have this? And it's the parents that are having the hard time with it. So, but when you start to feel better, it's a lot easier to follow. And then cheat, feel lousy, and you know the rules to get it back again. So that's the beauty. It is planet Earth. There are things to, you know, have fun with and enjoy and, you know, have a weekend, but at least then know how to clean it back up.
Yeah, it just takes a couple of cheats before you stay on the straight and narrow, I'll tell you.
At least.
I had an interesting insight. For years, I was after a head injury, I was treated for chronic sinus infections, which I think is part of what led me here because that was with antibiotic. And fascinating thing was by chance, just a year ago, I happened to get into a gluten product and I woke up the next day with quote unquote a sinus infection that was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And that was the moment the light went on that maybe it's not really a true sinus infection. Went to the primary care and we've did some different things to figure out if it was really truly, and it was just inflamed. It wasn't infected.
That's
the moment when it came on. It's like, wow, these food allergies or sensitivities can mimic things like so much that is diagnosed as something else. When really, now that when I avoid grains, I haven't had a sinus infection in months. Well, it's not sinus infection. I'll put that in air quotes.
Yeah. No, well, it's absolutely true. And, you know, you can pretty much put anything on the board from rheumatoid to, you know, the even gout and the Crohn's disease. All these things have to do with, I find, food allergies as the underlying cause, poor absorption, nutrients not getting into the system. Maybe they're missing them or they're just not eating them or they need to take them in a supplement form because we're at a strange point in our planet at this day and age. I've seen so many sick people, and it really was underlying the gut health and what they were eating is the first and foremost. And, you know, it's been a lovely career of really being able to correct things and give people back what they've been losing as far as their function and making their bodies a lot more efficient.
I think the biggest surprise for me was that even a lot of things that on paper are healthy, I was sensitive too. even though most people say, well, yeah, that's healthy. You could eat that. Do you find that a lot of people are a little surprised? They go, well, I eat healthy. And then you do some sort of sensitivity testing and start checking things off.
Yes, I find it so commonly. And I, you know, my heart goes out to those people who really have been eating well and doing all the things that they have been taught to do that really, you know, was promoted as healthy. But it does depend on the person. I mean, I had a guy that came in years ago. He had a tremendously high cholesterol. And he said everyone in his family had high cholesterol and heart disease and bypasses. And his cholesterol was over 2,000.
Wow.
Really. I thought, boy, did I miss that day in school that I never knew that it went that high? Because over 200 was high. So he had brought his blood test in. And we had tested him for potatoes. And he was completely allergic to potatoes. And I said, hey, it's potatoes. And he goes, what? And he's like, wait a minute. And he starts listing off all the times in the week that he eats potatoes. So he went on our detox program. He eliminated potatoes. And within 5 weeks, his cholesterol came down to 176 from the same lab done by the same medical doctor. So that cholesterol was building up in his system because his liver wasn't working properly. And the liver's number one job is to detoxify. And number two, it's to handle the cholesterol in the body, not just from the foods. So that's just one silly thing that that guy is, you know, destined to have heart disease and heart attacks and whichever in the future. But once he found out at 35 that he had a potato allergy, lo and behold, if he's still following it, he's still living.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. What I know that in the white potato family, though, I've heard them called nightshades and that they're similar to tomatoes and eggplant. And if you have a sensitivity to one something, we'll just use that family, the nightshade family. If you have a sensitivity to one, should you avoid all?
As a general rule, I would say you're smartest to do that. But I have found people like him. It was just potato. He actually could have the tomatoes and the peppers and the eggplant. If you do have some tendency into that area, you're best to avoid the tomatoes, the potatoes, the eggplant, and the peppers, and you'll do better. You know, I've seen a lot more nightshades in the past 5 years, and I just think it's the change of our food. You know, I don't want to get on a soapbox and start screaming how bad our food is, but I definitely see that things are changing and I'm seeing more allergies and more sensitivities to things that I didn't used to see. And I can only think it's the way they're modifying stuff and the Roundup they're using. And, you know, organic doesn't mean that the soil was good. Organic just means they didn't use pesticides, you know, so that's just one good thing. That's like having a kitchen garden. Great. But there's more to it than what's happening.
Gosh, yeah, we could do a whole program on our food and what's happening to everything from the insect population down to the quality of the nutrients in the soil. I had Dr. Nisha Winters on not too long ago, and she has this cute little joke about, we talk about organic food and the quality of our, all these fancy words, natural and, you know, all of this. And she says, it's what our grandparents just called food.
That's exactly right.
How much it's changed over the years. Oh my gosh. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the more fun topics of bloating and gas. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're talking with Dr. Julie Gatza, the co-founder of the Florida Wellness Institute. And we've been talking tummy, digestion, leaky gut, all of those great words that, in my experience, and as you heard from Dr. Gatza too, that's where the autoimmune really hangs out. So now we're going to talk about some of the more embarrassing problems that happen in that location. Describe to us, Dr. Julie, what is bloating?
Bloating is simply you're eating food that the body can't break down. When it can't break down, it ferments and it creates gas. That gas will often cause bloating. It will cause gas itself. It will cause indigestion and heartburn. And it's simply any way that the body can get this gas escaped. Sometimes it just gets trapped in the abdomen and you see, you know, a chronic bloated belly.
Yeah, wow. I know what it feels like. I'll tell you, it's not fun. It's not comfortable. Okay, so the next thing would be obviously gas escaping. We know how that happens, either up or out. What can we do to avoid bloating? Is it different for everybody, or are there some general things that we can do to not have that happen?
I would say in general, we need to be able to produce our own enzymes. So you know, getting on a system to get your body efficient and healthy is the, you know, always the smartest way to go about this. But I have found that pretty much every single patient that comes in, I have to give digestive enzymes to. We give them, you know, to children in powdered form if we need to. They have them in capsules. And if you're eating a larger meal, you take 2 or 3 of them. If you're eating a long meal or a buffet, hey, you're not going to hurt yourself to take a number of them. And it simply is an aid to breaking down the food that's sitting in the digestive system. And these absorbate nutrients have been studied that 71% better absorption when you take these nutrients and these enzymes. So that's a lot of bang for your buck. If you're getting 71% or up to 71% better absorption for everything that you're doing to eat healthy, now you're actually getting it in.
Yes, absolutely. If you're getting more nutrients out of the same amount of food, that makes much more sense.
Exactly.
And I've noticed that when our nutrients are off, one time I had a zinc deficiency, I went into my naturopath and I said, I don't taste anything anymore. And she gave me this liquid and I didn't taste it. She said, yep, you have a zinc deficiency. And then once we worked on that, I'll tell you, I tasted it the next time. It's a little test, everyone, to see how your zinc is. There's a little test that your doctors can do to see if you're low. But what was fascinating to me was all the sort of little hidden symptoms, it took to the point where I just wasn't tasting anything anymore before anyone even mentioned to me, maybe you're not absorbing your nutrients. That was my first experience, like, well, maybe I'm not getting the nutrients I need.
It's true. And, you know, even a little kid who has dark circles under their eyes, or, you know, a 7-year-old who has a weight problem, or, you know, this ADD problem, which, you know, I really think stems first and foremost from food and nutrient deficiencies. The laundry list goes on and on and on, but you know, it's very easily displayed in children because it's so obvious. And you know, you got this bright-eyed child who all of a sudden doesn't do well in school or puts weight on or is fatigued or can't sleep or gets sick all the time, or infants with earaches. All this stuff is simply starting from a lot of times the food itself.
Now, if we're curious, like, well, okay, check mark that and that and that, like gas, bloating, my belly, is, maybe I'm not getting enough nutrients. Are there specific tests that we could have to determine if it's a global thing or if there's, like my case, the zinc was really a big issue, is that we could figure out that it's just a few items?
You know, I haven't found a great test for nutrient deficiencies. You have, you know, your stool analysis, your hair analysis, you can do a urine analysis, you can do scratch testing, you can do all sorts of stuff. And if there really was a perfectly great standardized way to find out what people are missing, it would be all over because it would be so simple to be able to determine this. I, for one, have used muscle testing to figure it out, which is as weird as it comes, but I don't care how weird it is. I just want to be accurate and I want my patients to improve. You know, there's in the chiropractic field, which is what I am, there are lots of different things that you can pursue to find out, you know, better nutrition, how to figure it out. But there isn't something that's just that darn simple. So there's nothing that's just that, you know, darn simple. So it's a matter of, you know, you do have to do a bit of research and find somebody in the field that knows what they're doing, because just throwing everything at it isn't going to be an answer as well.
Now, if we can't get to your clinic, when you brought up the finding someone that knows what they're doing, what are some questions we should ask someone to find out if they know?
Now, a nutritionist is usually a very good person that you could start with that way. Chiropractors, especially those who do functional medicine, know a lot about this area. And because it's functional medicine, it takes in the account of the spine and the organ systems and disease processes and detoxification and possibly IV nutrition, nutrients in general as well. So a medical doctor or chiropractor, but I generally am more ache to the going towards the chiropractors because they're also addressing what's happening with the nervous system.
Now, I wanted to jump from that because we went down that rabbit hole. And as my audience knows, that's one of my favorite things. But I want to get back over to bloating / gas. Okay, let's say we have gas. Is there anything that we can do other than the obvious releasing of it to get rid of it? And what happens if it's chronic?
If it's chronic, it just simply means you're not breaking down the foods. You know, there are apple cider vinegar type, you know, remedies for this, but you know, you can take that certainly. And a lot of people have tremendous relief for doing apple cider, a tablespoon before or after they're eating, but it's generally what you are eating. So if you're gassy, which is never normal, all you have to do is go back to what were you eating. And if you're not quite sure, then the next meal, knock one of those things out. And, you know, I would always say, start with protein, eat your vegetables. And then if you're going to add something and you change and you start to get gassy, bloated, indigestion, it's the thing that you added. So protein's usually not going to do it to you, especially the chicken and the fish. They're easier broken down. Eggs are generally easy. And then steamed green vegetables, people do quite well with. Anything from there, now watch to see if you're actually gassy from it.
Now, you mentioned steamed green vegetables. I've heard that cruciferous vegetables, which are not all green, I understand that, but that they're kind of a notorious. Are they, or is that a wise tale?
They can be gassy, but most people know that already. So when they're trying to, you know, determine what's going on, they'll say, oh no, broccoli's no good for me. And I'm like, okay, fine. So knock the broccoli out of that list. But, you know, we've got to get some type of food in. So I also allow squash, all the types of squashes. So zucchini and butternut and acorn squashes, including yellow zucchini or yellow squash as well.
Okay, fantastic. We need to take one final quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. Julie Moore about our digestive health and how that plays into optimizing our body and fixing all the little autoimmune ails. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with health educator, chiropractor, and all-around gut health specialist, Dr. Julie Gatza. And she is a co-founder of the Florida Wellness Institute and one of the nation's top chiropractic physicians with more than 26 years of clinical practice and experience with thousands and thousands of patients. And one of the things that she works with is to optimize our gut. And we've been talking about digestion, gas, and bloating tonight, and as well as microbiome. I know we skipped over the microbiome probiotic debate a little bit. I want to get back to that before we run out of time. We just have about 15 minutes left, Dr. Julie. You know, I hear so much pro and con. I hear about like eat fermented vegetables, don't eat fermented vegetables because they cause gas, take probiotics, take prebiotics. I'm just like totally confused how we support our microbiome.
Well, it is a confusing area. The thing that I would say to you is most of us don't have that imbalance in our digestive system. And the reason being is we've all been on antibiotics, and antibiotics don't just wipe out the bacteria that's in your lungs for your chest congestion. It wipes out all bacteria. And now what happens is the yeast and bacterial balance gets out of balance, and the yeast overgrows in the digestive system. This causes sugar cravings. This causes people to have metabolism problems and fatigue and skin problems and all sorts of stuff. So yes, people then want to recolonate and put that good bacteria back in. And so they say, eat the yogurt. It's never been my suggestion to eat the yogurt to do that. I would say you do need to go get a very high quality probiotic. This Absorbaid Platinum has a very high quality in it. And you do have to spend the money in this one area if you're just isolating the probiotic, because you can make them cheaply or you can make them well. And when you start to put that back in, the balance becomes much more attainable and it's much more stable, and people start to feel a lot better. Fermented food, yes, it's very good for the body. It sort of goes with our ethnicities. The Germans ate sauerkraut, and you know, Japanese people eat the ginger, and you know, coleslaw and anything with the vinegary things are decent for helping to recolonate and put that back into the system.
Okay, now I've heard it causes gas and bloating. Is that true, or is that just a wise tale?
No, you should eat it, but if it's the one thing that is causing that, then don't eat that one. So, you know, some people do well with fermented beets. Others do well with the sauerkraut. Others do well with just having a coleslaw during their meal with the vinegar aspect to it. Some just with a pickle. But if you do get gassy and bloated, it simply means, warning, warning, we did not break down that food. So that's all you have to do is, any gas is not normal. It's common, but it's not normal to have. And it's simply the body saying, there's no way we broke that down and letting you know.
Mm. Now, this takes me to another, as you're saying, warning, and I'm thinking about not breaking down food. How does something like IBS with constipation or IBS with diarrhea, is that related to all of gas and bloating, or is that a completely different issue?
It's exactly the same, different person, different symptom. It's exactly the same. I treat the rheumatoid patients in the digestive way, the same way I would treat IBS and Crohn's disease and any of that, because, you know, Jane might have Crohn's disease, Mark has rheumatoid, and Ellen has IBS. They're all on the same darn program to fix the digestion. And when they fix it, lo and behold, they all start to improve with everything they're talking about.
Now, I was surprised. You have mentioned once before how fast the gut starts to heal itself. Give me an idea of some of a little story that you know of someone. How do we know as it's starting to heal itself? Does the symptoms start to disappear?
Yes. I mean, no one wants Crohn's disease. It's a pretty intense disease where they get horrible, horrible stomach pains. They have all sorts of, you know, gas and bloating and diarrhea and all, you know, just you name it, they've got it. And they can't go very far from the house. And they're also very miserable in pain. So when we start to clean up their system, take away the things that they shouldn't be eating, recolonate what needs to go in with the good nutrition and, you know, the probiotics, they automatically lose weight. They'll lose the inflammation. They aren't losing necessarily fat or muscle. They're losing inflammation. Their digestive system starts to calm down. They have a normal bowel movement every day. Their energy starts to improve. That sort of sallow look in their face improves. The dark circles under their eyes improve. Their joints feel better. And it's simply the inflammation leaving and the gut repairing. And you know what? When they don't believe me and they get awfully cocky, say, go and eat your pizza. They eat a pizza and they come back and they're like, wow. I'm like, I know. I'm sorry. Or, you know, they'll come in and they're like, you know, I was doing so great. And they get all sort of indignant that I'm no longer helping them. And I'll go, you slip coffee back into your diet? And they look at me and I'm like, yep, that's what it's doing. So it keeps them from absorbing, and they think they're feeling so much better that they can get away with a couple of those things. But, you know, one cup of coffee a day is 365 in a year, and it automatically keeps you from absorbing the moment that you put it into your body for that day.
Wow. I had no idea. I have a question about inflammation, though. One thing that I noticed on my healing journey was my inflammation from back then is not the same as the inflammation from now. Is that part of the healing process where I'll just say sort of, it's not my word, I don't know what the technical word is. Sometimes I find the inflammation kind of floats around and chooses a new spot.
Yeah, it will often go to a weak link, and you'll probably find that it is a bit different, because once you start to get that digestive system much more healed, you'll notice that maybe, you know, like my hands, I'm a chiropractor. If I'm cheating on my diet, my hands hurt. Okay, fine. Why? I've used my hands for 28 years like a bricklayer. So it happens to be my weak link. So it can, you know, sort of go with each person's, what are you using the most? Where's an area that you possibly need some, you know, help with? You know, are you getting chiropractic? Because if you open up those nerves and let them go to the different body parts, you'll also have the nervous system working better so that you don't have, you know, that sort of sitting there going, hey, also, you know, there's a problem here.
Now, talking about sort of floating around here, another question popped into my mind about, do you find that people, their sensitivities change over time? Like maybe they take it out for a while, they can add it back in, or maybe their sensitivities get worse and worse to the point where they go, yeah, Dr. Julie, I'm eating five things.
Yes, I do find that the most common ones were the ones that we mentioned earlier. I do find that if you've got it, it's pretty much yours. Now, you can heal yourself and get yourself a lot healthier, that you can have a bit more leeway where you can have a cheat day once a week, maybe twice a week. But when you start just doing a little bit each day, it's not really giving the body a chance to repair and recuperate from the last time you did it. So my patients are all allowed once a week, once they're healthy, to go ahead and have a cheat day or a cheat meal. And the problem being is once they do that, they want to do it again and again and again. And it starts a little bit of a, you know, slippery slope, because I think it's the metabolism just gets re sort of introduced to the things that it used to sort of act a different way. And it starts, you know, grabbing it and wanting it and desiring it once you start to put it back in again.
I feel that way about sugar. Mm-hmm. It's true. Almost as I take one little bite of sugar and it's almost like that Rocky Horror Picture Show where that plant's going, feed me, feed me. It's my head just starts screaming. Yes, but we just add sugar, more, more, more.
That's exactly true. I agree. And that's what happens a lot with, you know, with the wheat or the dairy or the other things that the people are supposed to be staying away from.
Now, is that psychological or is that maybe the microbiome that likes sugar going, oh my gosh, she's feeding us?
Yeah, the latter, I think for sure. And now there is psychological too to it, but I think really it does sort of, it gets the body back into a state that it was trying to come out of and it remembers it well.
Oh yeah, mine remembers it like it was just seconds ago, not even a day ago, but like seconds ago. Drives me crazy. Wow, we're just down to the last 5 minutes or so. I wanted to, any final thoughts on repairing our gut and optimizing where we're at?
You know, the best thing that I would say to do is take just a good look at your diet. Sometimes when you write it down, you're a bit more aware of how many times you'll grab a handful of something and not really have attention on it. But if you sit down, you write down, you know, possibly what you've been eating, and then you go, huh, really, would my grandparents be proud of that? And if your grandparents wouldn't be proud of that list, then why don't you start eating like your grandmother's cooking for you? That means have the eggs in the morning, have some steamed vegetables or sauteed vegetables with them. You know, have some chicken and vegetables at lunch. Have a piece of fish and vegetables for dinner and a side salad. You know, drink water throughout the day. And when you start to just move yourself towards healthy, or you're doing this for your family, you're going to notice you have a much more happier group. They're going to be less surly. You're going to find that you've got people that are actually doing better. And a lot of it is just feeding them well, and yourself included. You know, a lot of depression is simply that person's drinking a heck of a lot of pop. And that pop is doing things to the system over and over and over again, and basically robbing them that they don't have the nutrients just to feel okay. So now they're weepy, or they're depressed, or they have road rage. And you know, it's just first take a look at what the heck you're doing diet-wise, and then would your grandparents be proud?
Oh, I love that. Would your grandparents be proud? I want to throw in my little cheat. I'm too lazy to write it down, so I take pictures of it.
Totally fine.
I also go, okay, I know exactly my diet or my portion control at that point too, but I just put them in a little album in my phone. And anyway, that's my lazy person cheat.
That's okay.
I remember it well. So tell us, how can we get a hold of you and your website and any other final thoughts?
They can get onto the Nature's Sources website, and they can find out about the different enzymes and the ones with the probiotics. They can also call a 1-800 number, which is 1-800-827-7656. And if they use the code radio, they can get some free samples, or they can get 20% off their first order. So it's a lovely company in the vitamin world. Not everyone's making equal vitamins by any stretch of the imagination. And I know this company. I'm proud to actually push their vitamins. All my patients are taking them as well. And I switched over once I found out about them. And I'm just in love with them because they do such a fine job. And they know what they're talking about, and they work hard at it.
Oh, fantastic. Now, one final thought, though, I just want to throw out. My first thought was, should we run the idea of probiotics past someone in our healthcare team so they know what we're doing or we're choosing to do with the enzymes?
You know, I don't really think that it matters. I mean, one, they're not educated in that area, and now you've left it up for an opinion of somebody who actually isn't terribly educated in that area. And when you take these enzymes, not with a meal, it helps with inflammation. So if somebody has achy joints, if their knees are achy, if they've been flying the night before, you can take them on an empty stomach. I usually take about 4 every time I travel. And any swelling that I might have had just from being in the altitude, it's gone completely away by the morning. And it's because those enzymes help to break down inflammation. So you can't really go wrong with them. I've never seen anybody come back. Maybe they had a stomach ache if they took too much, but fine. Just don't take that much. It's pretty simple.
Okay. Yeah, that would have to be an awful lot, I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Well, fantastic, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the show and talking to us about our digestive tract and gas and bloating, because, you know, it's something we don't talk a lot about, and it's so integral to our healing and optimizing our health. I never say cure here, unfortunately, because who knows, but I think just the more we can optimize, the better. So everyone, have a great weekend, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And as always, you can go to understandingautoimmune.com to see all the past episodes in both video and audio. Share the links with your friends and join me on Facebook at Understanding Autoimmune as well. Everyone, have a great week, as I said, and enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Take a nice deep breath. And let it out. As you begin to build your courage and resilience, notice every bit of you feeling the change, the courage to be yourself. That's right. Feel it build within you, the resilience to stand for who you are. Knowing that the world needs your gifts right now. Let go of any little bits of fear that are keeping you stuck. That's right. Continuing to let your courage and resilience build. Knowing exactly what you need to do next. That's right. Feeling your courage build to know exactly what you want to say. and knowing that you'll have the strength to say it when it's time. You know the time is now. That's right. Feeling it build within you, the time is now to step into who you are to be. Sharing your gifts with the world. Right now. Right here. Taking a couple of nice deep breaths to actually feel it integrate into every little bit of you. Feeling that courage flooding between your cells. From the top of your head down to your toes. That's right. Letting it flood over where fear used to be is now courage and resilience. Continuing to breathe in that courage and resilience and letting it flood over you. That's right. Right now. As we come back to the moment right now, alive, awake, refreshed and renewed, ready to step into who we're meant to be. Take that step now as you come back to this moment. Knowing you are ready and the world is waiting for you. So take that first step now, back in this moment.